Hello, everyone. It's Jacob Portillo, and we are in the Real Estate Burrito podcast. Today with me, I have Edwin Oquendo with Caliber Home Loans, and I just wanted to bring him in today. He's part of the podcast, and go ahead, Edwin.
I appreciate the invite, man. I consider it a pleasure to be on the podcast with you, man, so thank you so much.
You're welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you here for sure. I wanted to touch a couple of topics. I actually went to this event the other day. It's called the GOBA. It's a it's a quarterly meeting that we have. It's pretty much Greater Orlando Builders Association. And we actually had this event to where we had three economists come in and just explain the forecast of what was going on in Central Florida. You know, talking about the birth rates, talking about you know, the homes that are selling right now. And there was a lot to learn about. I was just amazed on how three economists could come together and be on some type of an agreement.
Yeah.
Because usually, like, they're all in debates.
Right, right. There was a level playing field there. And it's interesting to find out, you know, some people would say, what does birth rates have to do with, you know, real estate? But it's amazing how that correlates to what we do every day.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So in that presentation, there were a couple things that they really, really wanted to, like, get their message across. And one of them was that they predicted no recession for 2020. They also mentioned that they expect the interest rates to stay at a stable level, average around 3.7%. You being a loan officer, how has this applied to you? Like, what have you been able to see?
Well, you know, you gotta first define that word recession, right? And when you look it up, recession means an economic slowdown. That's basically all that is. And, you know, unfortunately, we are scarred when we hear the word recession because of what happened back in 2008. You know, everybody thinks it's a meltdown, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes, a lot of foreclosures, right? And when you really dig down and you find out the cause of that, there was very little, how can I put this, regulation. You know, now there are laws in place that it's just, it will not allow something like that to happen again. Will there be another meltdown? Who are we to even speculate, right? We all don't want something like that to happen. I mean, I am no analyst. I'm nobody. I'm just a loan officer. I believe that there will be not a drastic recession. And also take in consideration that a recession, we could be in one right now, Jake.
Yeah, we just...
We could be in one right now, and we won't know that because a recession is defined or is determined by
the previous month.
Yeah, yeah. And it has to be a decline, or I'm sorry, was it an increase in unemployment rate? Okay, so people losing their jobs, people asking for benefits. There has to be an increase of that for three consecutive quarters.
To be considered
an actual recession.
Okay.
You know, so we don't know. We could be in one right now and not know about it, right? Is it going to be detrimental like it was in 2008? No, I don't think it's going to be that. You know, I just think it may be a situation where maybe the values aren't increasing as much as they were before.
Yeah.
You know, consider you're driving in a car going 60 miles an hour, right? But now that car is going down to 30 miles an hour. You're still moving, right?
Yeah.
You're just not moving that fast. So maybe people will be surprised and maybe they'll have that herd mentality. Oh, okay, now nobody's buying. And because nobody's buying is because the market's crashing. No. I just think maybe property values won't increase as fast as they were before. But still, it's never been a better time to become a homeowner, man. You know, so yes, there's analysts out there that say no recession. They could be right, they could be wrong. We have to let the market do its thing.
Yeah. And what has been your experience with the interest rates so far in the past years and what they're expected to be in 2020?
I got
to
tell you, it's been an amazing journey. I got to tell you that because, you know, back in 2008, when things were going bad, we saw rates at 3.25, 3.375. And that was on purpose. That was to try to stimulate the economy, to try to urge people to buy homes and to take out debt, right? It didn't work, obviously. But the fact that now we are seeing rates, FHA, 3.5% down, and somebody with a 680 credit score, you know, getting a 3.7%. Wow.
Yeah.
That same client with the 680 credit score in November of 2018, dude, rates were like at 5%.
Yeah, for sure. and I definitely experienced that myself. I bought my home in 2018, closed on it in March, and me having good credit at the time, I ended up getting an interest rate at 4.75.
Yeah, man, you see?
Yeah.
So just to be able to go from that and see that and be in that time period and now see the rates, healthy economy, healthy unemployment rate, the inflation is being contained, people are buying, people are spending money. It's all good indications of a healthy economy, right? So what do I expect to see with rates? I expect them to be steady. You know, I don't see, you know, rates, you know, staggering up and down. No, I don't see that. I see it hanging in there, 3.875, 3.75. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And then also what another topic that they spoke about was the demographics here in Central Florida. Who is planning to buy this year? And they actually showed a graph, and it explains that 25% of the buyers are coming from Generation Z, and the other 25% are millennials.
Yeah.
So just that by itself, 50% are coming from people who are younger than what, 35 years?
Yeah, roughly about 35 years and younger.
35, 40.
And the whole thing about it is, man, we're only talking about Orlando.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put that in perspective, you know, the Orlando market, when you look at this graph, it's like, man, there's so much business out there.
Yeah.
The problem is some people in our industry, unfortunately, just don't know their numbers. And it's so important for you to know those numbers. You know, who is going to be that buyer? What age group is that buyer in? The demographic, me myself, I'm 34 years old. I'm a millennial. And I've never liked the idea of living with mom and dad.
Yeah.
I've always been independent. So once I got married, my wife and I, boom, you know, we purchased a home. And then this past year, well, we were fortunate enough to close on our home as well, on another one. And it's interesting to find out that, you know, there's a correlation with that graph that we're looking at here in the Orlando population with these millennials with the birth rates, man. So anybody that was born, you know, 86, 87, 88, you know, we're turning 34, 35 years old. We're looking to buy homes, man.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. How does the birth rate affect us directly, like in today's market? Like how exactly does that work?
Well, I believe there's a wave coming. And I believe the wave that's coming is the millennials, is the Generation Z, which is anybody that was, you know, born after 1995. They're coming of age, they're making great income, and rates are so attractive. Why would that person in that age group not purchase a home, right? So going back to your question, if these birth rates did not happen in 86, in 87, all the way through 95, 93, then there would not be a wave of potential home buyers. So that's why the birth rates are important. So if we look at the average, you know, who is purchasing a home, Well, the person that is, you know, 28 to 33 are the age group that's purchasing a home. Well, how many of them are going to be turning of age? How do you figure that out? By looking at the birth rates.
Yeah.
So that's why that's so important for us to understand and realize.
Yeah. And this information is also good for a lot of real estate agents out there because it gives you a direct audience to target.
This is invaluable information for a real estate agent looking to better their business or even to grow their business. I can't say it enough. Knowing your numbers is extremely important. So this definitely helps them target who they want to attract.
Yeah, that's super great information. And then another topic was that what we've been noticing, and you know, I work for a builder, you work for a loan origination company. What we've been noticing is that a lot of people who are buying at the moment, they're not buying 3,000 square foot homes. The majority of the population is not buying homes, unless if it's like a special case scenario,
sure.
Depending on the demographic for sure.
Right, right.
But the majority, they're not buying huge mansions. Like,
yeah.
I want to say that the sweet spot is like right between 250 and 300,000. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree 100%. I mean, when you look at price per square foot, you know, what's selling now is anything above that 16, right? That 1600 square foot number and 2500 square feet. You know, me being a millennial, you know, I was in March of 2019, my house was 335 and it was 3000 square feet. So I'm a husband, I'm a father of two, you know, and I needed office space. That's what I needed. You know, it wasn't something in the 400s or 450,000. That market is not doing as well as the market of 250 and 300, you know?
Yeah.
So I see that. I see the income that is being earned by these millennials, by the Generation Zs that are allowing them, because the interest rates are so attractive, to purchase these homes.
Yeah. And I've been noticing not only our builder, but other builders being proactive in not only, as we know, the prices are going to either stay the same or go a little bit higher.
Right.
But we've been seeing a lot of change in the market when it comes to floor plans. Before, our minimum floor plan was 1,700 square feet. A lot of builders are trying to get into that 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,500 square feet. I'm even seeing 1,350 square feet.
Yeah.
And that attracts a lot of the new home buyers as well. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when it comes down to payments, right? Like,
at the end of the day, you know, when you are able to make a home, a new home, more affordable, man, that is going to open up the floodgates. But it's controlled, right?
Yeah.
It's controlled because, you know, you're allowing this wave that we've been talking about to come in and be able to have the flexibility of, you know, building a new home and taking advantage of all of the benefits that comes with that. And it's all going to come down to how much is that mortgage payment.
Yeah.
So the fact that the builders, like the one that you represent and others that we know about, are adapting, that should tell realtors, that should tell lenders that you also need to adapt, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the builders have reports of, you know, what's coming, what's starting, what's the trend. So that would be foolish of us, for example, as lenders, not to accommodate ourselves or adapt. And same thing for realtors as well.
Yeah. And we've actually seen a growth in sales on specific square footage.
Yeah.
And most of it has been from the 150 to the 200s, the 200s to the 250s, and 250s to 300s.
Right.
There's actually a 2.5% increase from last year alone.
Yeah.
And which is amazing because there's been a decrease of 7.2% on homes that are larger than 3,000 square feet.
It's interesting. It's interesting because you would assume that that's where you would want to be. That's the market that you want to be attracted to.
Yeah.
But no, here again, and I'll repeat myself again, know your numbers. You know, if you're a realtor trying to focus your attention on that type of market, there's not a lot. You need to be in that 200 to 250, 250 to 300. That's where the growth is, man. Yeah. And that'll continue to grow. Whether if it's, you know, 60 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour, it's still moving and it's still growing.
Do you see a lot of first-time home buyers buying homes more than 3,000 square feet?
No, I don't. The majority of first-time home buyers are payment-driven.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, they, quite frankly, they don't understand the square footage. They don't understand that. You can try to explain it to them as much as you can. They're looking at the payment and does this house meet our needs?
Yeah.
Right? Whether if it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, whether if it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. You know, there's so many variations of that. You know, you said earlier, there's builders out there at 1350.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a 3-2.
Definitely a
3-2. Right? Right? So if that's what benefits that family, that's where they're going to go because they're payment driven.
Driven, yeah.
Very rare will you have a first-time home buyer coming in and saying, hey, I need to be at 1,800 square feet. If I heard that from a first-time home buyer, I'd be like, all right, cool. So you know a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I doubt that they're going to be, you know, pushed or coming in here for square footage. It's payment, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been experiencing that here in the Kissimmee market in Osceola County. A lot of our buyers, they're either local to the area or they're coming from Orlando. Yeah. Like they're in apartments in Orlando. And they're renting at $1,600, $1,700.
Crazy.
And that's what you can afford a house here. Just what, 20 minutes away from where they currently live?
Yeah.
So it's just a no-brainer on top of that.
And the value, the security, the peace that you're going to have in owning your own home. I mean, listen, to each his own, right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their circumstances. Who are we to say anything negative about somebody wanting to pay rent at $1,650, $1,700, sometimes for a 2-2.
Yeah.
Okay? With no garage.
Yeah.
Like, you got to climb steps to get into your apartment, right?
Yeah.
No backyard, no nothing. All right, cool. If that's what you love, then awesome. But you are not creating wealth. And I'm going to tell you something. Owning a home is creating wealth. People don't understand that when they make that monthly payment, they are creating a savings account for them. Yeah, I understand that the majority of that payment might go to interest. Cool. But you know what? There is a portion of it that's going to the principal.
Yeah.
And every month that happens, you are paying down the principal and you are helping your equity.
Yeah.
My friend, you could be in an apartment for 5-7 years paying $1,600-$1,500 a month. You'll never see anything of it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like, for example, when it's raining and there's just one drop that's hitting the same exact spot, over time, that spot gets, I forgot how to say it, but like the spot that it hits, it just keeps on hitting and it creates
an
effect.
It'll make a dent.
Yeah, it'll make a dent for sure. And that's exactly what happens with equity and with the monthly payments that you do every single month.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. But clients, and I always try to help when I do my consultations, you know, you're creating wealth, especially in the Hispanic culture. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
Wealth, what is that? You know, because they're looking at the tangible aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right? I can touch my new house. I can go in, I can paint, I can do this, I can do that. But most of them don't know about creating the wealth. And now again, it's the best time to be a homeowner, man, especially in Central Florida. We're just loving this time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's it for today. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And, you know, I was just able to pick your brain on a couple of things.
Anytime, man.
Is there anything else that you would like to say, or like another topic you'd like to bring up?
No, I would definitely like to jump on another podcast with you, and maybe we can, you know, allow or help clients understand a little bit about the mortgage process. I know that it's very difficult to put into perspective, because at the end of the day, who wants debt? Think about it.
Yeah.
Here we are. You guys have something tangible to show. You guys can show a house. You guys can show how nice the living room is or the bedrooms are. But here I am, the guy in the suit, you know, trying to sell debt, you know. But at the end of the day, it's education and being on this platform, which I really appreciate you allowing me to be a part of. It's a great way to allow somebody to understand a little bit about the mortgage process and how it works. The data that we've been able to talk about today is extremely important. It helps me do my job and your job a lot better as well. But yeah, you know, I'd be happy to come back and talk a little bit about the mortgage process, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure having you.